We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 90.10 The Game. Hopefully you're having a safe Tuesday out there. Normally on Tuesday, Hugh, we're sitting around going, okay, what's looking ahead of the week, and whether, you know, how does college football shake out this time of the year anyway? What's the Falcons game look like on Sunday? And we're all kind of still in the previous weekend and starting to work. Not this Tuesday. No. We got the World Series going on tonight, obviously. You got the Five Stripes tomorrow night on Sports Radio 99 The Game. And then Thursday night, you got the Falcons at Carolina Panthers. We don't have time. There's no catching your breath with this Thursday night.
Yeah, we got stuff. We got stuff we got to do, and we got stuff going on, John Fricky. We kind of a big deal around these parts.
Harry Douglas is going to join us in about 18, 19 minutes. We'll talk to Harry about his thoughts about breaking down the Falcons, because we had Chuck Smith on earlier. If you missed it, it'll be up on radio.com. You can, you know, back up the show and listen to Chuck. And, of course, we'll put it up on our 929 The Game on Facebook and on our website. You know, Chuck was talking about fact that he thinks that it's teaching you that the pass rate, the Falcons have 10 sacks, 10, okay? Miles Garrett has 9 by himself.
That's all our production right there.
Tax got one sack this year. It was on the very first play of the game of the year when he sacked Russell Wilson. He hadn't had a sack. Now, he's had injuries. I get that. Dante Fowler, one sack this year. Your two rush ends, Hugh, have two sacks in 7 games. So is it teaching? He mentioned it. Brian Cox, and you went through Bryant Young, and you went through, all these different guys, you know.
John, everybody has a different philosophy when it comes to pass rush. Mm-hmm. And I honestly can't say, because I haven't watched a whole lot of film as far as, you know, being in the room with them when they're in teaching moments and things of that nature. But it does look like, when Chuck said it doesn't like you have a plan when you're out there. It definitely doesn't look like that. Doesn't like there's a plan, and that's a problem, you know, because you have to. I remember being in meetings with my coach, and he would always say, okay, what's your pass rush plan? And I would tell him, I would have to sit there and I would have to tell Coach Brazier, what is my plan? What is my philosophy going into this game? And what am I going to do to try to, you know, set this guy up that I'm trying to play against that's going to help me have success during the course of the game? So, yeah, I mean, I definitely see where he's coming from when he says stuff like that, because you got to have a pass rush plan. You got to have that.
Because, Hugh, as you walk me through this, you know, right. I mean, you're looking at film. You either know the tackle that you're going to be going up against, or if you don't know him, you're watching film, and every tackle is different. Some guys you can bull rush. Some guys you can speed rush. Some guys you have to chop. I mean, you have to use different techniques. They have, like anybody, any other player, that tackle you're playing against has a strength and a weakness, either foot speed or upper body strength. I mean, they all have, right? So you try and use your best thing against, right, I would think.
Yeah. That's what you're talking about, John. You're trying to, you know, gain an edge. You know, you're watching film. You're trying to figure out what he's trying to do against you, and you're trying to counter that. That's the name of the game, you know?
And here's the other thing, though. I mean, of course, now you're playing a team you already just played a couple of weeks ago. You shouldn't have to do that much scouting. I mean, you know them, right?
Yeah. I mean, you do. But things change, and, you know, they're not going to run. They're going to run some plays that they have success on, but they're going to try to switch it up as much as they possibly can. John, and they kind of try to fool you on some certain things. But, yeah, it's basically going to be the same team that you played against before.
Yeah, and I'll give Matt Rhule credit. He's done a really nice job there. The Carolina Panthers 3-3 team. I thought they may be a 4-win team, this season, with a brand-new head coach and Joe Brady being a brand-new coordinator and having a new quarterback. And then, of course, they lose Christian McCaffrey. Now McCaffrey's back at practice. He's not cleared to play, but he's back at least working out here. You know, you didn't have Luke Kuechly, you didn't have Thomas Davis, you didn't have Cam, you didn't have Ron Rivera, and look what they've been able to do. They were a field goal away from sending a game to overtime against the Saints to maybe, you know, go to 4-2 on the year. Didn't turn out that way. They're 3-3 as they lost that heartbreaker. Oh, by the way, quick shout out if we can. I don't know if you saw the video yesterday out there. Hugh, I don't know if you got a chance to see it, but Ron Rivera walking out of the hospital.
Yeah, just ringing the bell.
Man, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was him. It was a couple other people I saw. A frat brother of mine, he had cancer. Brother Baumer up in Philadelphia. And he got to ring the bell the other day. So yeah, it's pretty cool, man, to have that. You know, he had a battle, and he came out and he beat it.
Yeah. So you know, congrats to Ron Rivera leaving the hospital after fighting this latest round of cancer and rejoining the Washington football team, and well done by him. A couple of items from earlier in the show for those of you who are not with us. You know, kind of in the early hours of the program, every day we do something called the Morning Mashup at 6:20, where Oren finds. Because we get locked into, obviously, Hugh and I, the big stories of the day. You know, we're talking about the Falcons or the Five Stripes or, you know, the Braves in the World Series and whatnot. You know, Georgia. We get into all the big stories. And so we miss some of the other stories that are out there because we just don't have time for them. So we came up with this little segment where Oren could play a soundbite from some of the other stories. But we got so many this morning that we didn't get to all of them. There were a couple that we left on the table here, and I want to make sure that we get them into the show here, so we're going to do that. Oren, welcome back. Walk me through the first one here, because this Lane Kiffin story, we knew when Lane Kiffin was going to be back in the SEC and back at Ole Miss that things were going to get, and Mike Leach, that those guys were going to make things interesting, and indeed, Lane Kiffin has made things interesting.
So this past weekend, they played Auburn. There was a play late in the game. Ole Miss had a lead, and it was a kickoff. And Ole Miss kicked it off. And the ball, after kicked off, appeared to kind of graze or touch an Auburn player's hand and rolled in the end zone. And the officials ruled it a touchback. Lane didn't like that call, said it was wrong. He got an explanation, a very fast explanation from the refs that told him it was reviewed and the call was upheld. Wasn't a fan of that. After the game, Lane retweeted someone being critical of the SEC refs, and that's a no-no. So Lane got hit with a $25,000 fine. He took to Twitter afterwards, and he asked if anybody had 25,000 pennies, which Lane is not very good at math. So he corrected himself, and he said, can I find 250,000 pennies, which is still incorrect. And he finally tweeted again, does anybody have 2.5 million pennies, which is the actual correct amount you would need to reach 25,000 pennies. So
that's
some stuff
hard,
off
man.
Anyway. But Lane had his weekly press conference yesterday, and he talked about that interaction he had with the refs and how he can't really talk about what he said to them.
Math is hard, man. That's all
I really
say.
Wish for our players, for our fans, that they could hear what I was just told. I think they deserve to, but you know, I asked. They made sure to tell me there's a policy that I can't tell you, the players or the fans, you know, what their, if you want to call it, explanation for that situation and how the TV copy, everybody in the country could see it hit him. And I asked the side judge, why aren't they replaying it? Do I need a challenge? And he said, they've already looked at it. There's nothing there.
So, yeah. I got to say, I think Lane's right, by the way, because – I don't know how you would have said they've already replayed it and they looked at it, and because it's pretty obvious the Auburn player did touch it. And then Ole Miss fell on it in the end zone. That made it because he touched it at like the 10. I mean, this wasn't a ball kicked into the end zone. That should have been an Ole Miss touchdown. Lane's not wrong. Okay. They missed the call flat out.
And then they didn't want to own up to it and say they did miss the call. Game on. They didn't want to change it.
And then they came out the day after and the SEC said, oh, by the way, Lane, you're right. We did miss the call. That should have been an Ole Miss touchdown. Our bad.
My bad, Lane.
Yeah, you can mail those 2.5 million pennies to us anywhere you want to send those to us, Lane.
Isn't there still a coin shortage, by the way?
That was funny. So one of the people that tweeted, he tweeted that in response. It was like they told him the correct amount, and they were like, hey, there's a penny shortage, so ain't no way you're going to find 2,500 pennies, let alone 2.5 million pennies, buddy.
I probably got 2,500 pennies. He can get these. I got.
Why do you have 2,500? How long have you been collecting pennies? That's what the penny shortage is, because she has all the pennies.
Oh, you know what it is?
Listen, I was always told, if I like, I always save my change, man, because I'd never be broke. As long as I got that change, I'd never be broke.
You took that to mean literally, like I will save,
Come on now, don't. I ain't got to give you no explanation to some of the things that our ancestors used to do. I ain't got to explain that.
He's right. I mean, he's looking at that penny jar. He's thinking ramen noodles. I get it.
My grandma had a cabinet, bro, with nothing but coins and coin wrappers, man. And
I ain't
got
to explain some of the stuff that that our family told us to do.
I never understood that. She kept money
and I still to this day
next to her gun.
I still keep coins. I still keep coins. I mean, because it's just what I was told to do.
I'm not going
to
lie. Keep
I mean, there's one more from the morning menu we want to get into because we didn't get into it. And it's kind of an interesting point because I think it's well taken here. The Atlanta Hawks haven't played a game in a little over 3.5 years.
Don't do that. Because I was like, wait a minute, it's been 3 years. don't do that. Don't do that. Because I was about to say, it's been 3 years.
Counting pennies and counting years over there.
Yeah. You know, math throws me off a little bit. say, wait a minute, that's a long-ass time.
And apparently Danny Green's talking about something that the NBA, listen, they had to adjust for the COVID, but they may have to adjust for something else, right, Orin?
Yeah, so if they go to a December schedule, a veteran team like the Los Angeles Lakers, their vets might not be starting the season at the same time everybody else does. And Danny Green goes into that a little bit here.
We bring, say we fortunate enough to bring the same team back. We have Doe, who's on year 15, Dwight's in year 16, Bron year 18, you know, 17, Duvall. And these guys, we just played a whole season. Bron's been in the finals 10 years out of his 17 years, which is unbelievable mentally. You know, it's draining to do that. And to have that quick of a restart, I wouldn't expect to see him there. I wouldn't expect to see him probably for the first month of the season. He'll probably be working out with us, probably do some playing. I just don't expect guys to want to be there or show up willingly. I think at this moment.
Adam Silver's going to have a problem with that? You know, Hugh, the idea that, we're just going to sit out the first month? You got television.
What you
going to
do, John? What you going to do?
LeBron
has played 18 seasons. So when you think about his 18 regular seasons,
the extra games all the, too.
That's what I was about to say. LeBron probably has 22 seasons.
I agree.
Of basketball on his body.
Yep.
Like on his body. If LeBron James at this point in his career decided he wanted to take a couple of weeks off before he started the season, I don't think there's too many people who can say nothing to him, John. I mean, for what he's been in the NBA, the way he's put it down, I don't see anybody saying, "Hey, LeBron, you better have your butt out there playing." LeBron, look at you and probably call you a name, a mean and hurtful name.
Harry Douglas is the man breaking down all the film, former Falcons star wide receiver. He joins us next on the morning show as we look at what happened to the Falcons over this last game. And look ahead to the Carolina game on Thursday night. Harry is next on Sports Radio 92 on the game. Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game from the Mobile Kia Studios. Falcons getting ready. A quick turnaround here Thursday night against, of course, the Carolina Panthers in Charlotte. As we all have full coverage with the Falcons going to their eighth game of the year. Coming off yet another self-destructive loss where they lost again at the buzzer this year, not the first time. And Harry Douglas, of course, is our guy when it comes to breaking down game film. Nobody does it better than at HDouglas83 on Twitter when we're breaking down Falcons game film. And he joins us this morning on the WaveForward.com hotline.
Kenfo, what's going on, man?
How y'all doing today on this Tuesday morning, baby?
Pretty good. Now I'm going to ask you here, because I know that you were sitting there watching the game and you have thoughts on this. So who do you lay this blame at the feet of? Is this Ty Gurley's fault or is it the coaching staff's fault for putting him in that position?
Hugh, I'll tell you this. The Falcons lost that game on situational football throughout the entire game.
I keep hearing that word, situational football.
They lost the entire game off situational football, and I'm going to tell you why. So I'm going to start with this. 2 minutes before the half, right, Detroit has the football. The two-minute drive that the Detroit Lions had, the defense gave up an 18-yard explosive play, a 10-yard catch, and then a 20-yard explosive play. That led to 3 points for the Detroit Lions before halftime. How many points did they lose by, Hugh?
Was it
they
three?
Lost by one.
Well,
they
one point, yeah. One. Yeah.
Now, you have a fourth and five, a decision you make. Right there, you should have took the points. How many points did they lose by, Hugh?
One.
They lost by 1 point. Then you go to the play with Todd Gurley, and we've seen him do this in the past before, but why not just let Matt Ryan take a knee instead of just handing the football off?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? You don't even have that situational football. And we just witnessed that the night before in the Penn State and Indiana football game. I even tweeted about it. So you just witnessed that the night before in a college game. So to be able to allow that happen at the NFL level is just terrible. And then Detroit gets the ball with a minute and 4 seconds left and has to drive 75 yards with no timeout to win the football game.
See, that to me, Harry, was the most egregious thing as a defender. As a former defender, a guy that played in the NFL, situations like that, that's what your defense lives for. I mean, that's your identity right there. That's what you want to do. You want to be in those situations where you stop them. They didn't get it done. They only had to make one play. One play.
Exactly.
Well, they make one play. They make one play, Harry, in four games. They're 5-2 and not 1-6.
Oh, I know. I know. That's the crazy part about it, man. Like, this team is not terrible. Do they have some holes and some areas they need to fill? Of course they do, across the board. But if you just make plays and if you're good at situational football, you're 5-2 right now.
Yeah, that's – well, I tell you, it's tough to think about that when you think about at what this team could potentially be to lose games in that fashion. Now, defensively, what – yes.
Hugh, I'll tell you this. Since you talking about the defense, I'm gonna say this. So when I watch film on the Detroit Lions, you want to know what I noticed?
What's
on
that?
Film from Matthew Stafford in that offense? Matthew Stafford is greedy. He likes the home run play. He does not like the check downs. He doesn't like coming underneath. When I watch the film on Matthew Stafford, the first thing came to my mind is like, dang, it don't matter what. He's throwing that thing down the field regardless. He don't like check down.
Yeah, because he had time to do it. He had time to do it. It felt like he was coming back to plays that might have not hit in the first half, but he knew that they were going to be there in the second half.
And that leads me to this Falcons defense is still giving up too many explosive plays. They gave up 12 explosive plays to the Detroit Lions. He was seven of those 12 plays was 20 yards or more.
Wow.
I don't even know how you're going to win like that.
You're not. They didn't.
They can't. You can't. And you know what's funny to me? And I know, you know, offenses, like to me, and I said this, Harry, offenses are like pitchers. Some days you have it. Some days you don't, because that's a different mentality on that side of the ball. But defensively, you're always supposed to be on edge. You're always supposed to play with attitude. And for whatever reason, and I wonder if you see it the same way, this defense plays with a little bit of an edge in the first half, and then in the second half, the guys that you see that are making plays, it's hard for them to make plays in the second half. Can you speak to that a little bit? What do you see? Why are they not able to make plays in the second half?
Well, that's been the MO the entire year, Hugh. They've been good in the first half, and in the second half, you see the drop off. You see guys fade away. I don't know if it's a fatigue factor or guys can't sustain that level of play for an entire game. But you would think it can't be a fatigue factor because you get a 20-minute break at halftime.
Yeah,
and you're
you
sitting around, you're drinking Gatorade, you're drinking water, you're eating a banana. I used to eat me an orange. I used to drink me a Sprite at halftime to get me a little bit more juice going, get my energy level up a little bit. So it's not like you don't have that break. I think it's all mental, man. I think it's mental. Guys have to know they're going to make the play. They have to envision it. You have to see yourself making these plays, see yourself coming through for your team, see yourself winning these football games. Put yourself in these situations and visualize it before it actually happens. I know people take that stuff for granted, but, man, when you visualize things and see it before it happens, then you already know what to do because you've already put yourself in that situation. One thing I used to do, Hugh, before our games, we used to have third downs. Was every third down coming to me? No. But I used to envision myself being in the spot where Rod or Julio was, just in case they happened to go down, and envision myself making those plays on those third downs or whatnot in those situations. So when I got out there, it wasn't foreign to me, and I already knew what I wanted to do.
So you visualize yourself having success, basically. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, and this team is the other way around. Because it does seem, Harry, that to your point here, that when Todd scored, and he, I don't blame him at all, but when he did, I mean, he could have gotten down, I get that. But when he scored, it was like every Falcons fan, we all said, oh, God, all right, here they go. They're going to score, they're going to beat us.
Yeah, what's about to happen next?
Right. And Harry, it was almost like you could see the team say, oh, damn, he scored, they're going to score, they're going to beat us. That they knew it, that the team knew it.
Yeah, and I'll tell you another play that hurt the Falcons also. Jake Matthews, you cannot give up that sack fumble because that sack fumble, and Matt Ryan was very, very angry about that. He got beat 1-on-1. You gave up a sack fumble. Guess how many points the Lions went down and scored off of that sack fumble? 3 points. They lost by one. Those are just things you cannot have Now, if you have some guys that's coming in that's going to play and they're free agents and they mess up, okay, you got to live with that. But you cannot have your best players, the guys who are making the most money on your team, being the reason why you're losing football games. You can't have that.
Harry Douglas joining us at HDouglas83. Harry, I want to mention something two of your friends have told us in the last couple of days. One being Dave Archer and the other being Chuck Smith, who this morning told us kind of the same thing, and get your thoughts. What you're seeing on film. Dave Archer said the Falcons made a big mistake not lighting up Matt Stafford on the last play. They should have blitzed. They got away from the blitz, which was effective early in the game. And Chuck Smith talked about the fact that they can't get sacks unless they do blitz, and because you've got one by Fowler and one by Tack all season long. So if the other way you can get sacks is to blitz, then why not blitz?
I agree 100%. So on the pregame show, me and Chris was talking about, I said, Chris, listen, you cannot allow Matt Stafford to sit back there in that pocket because he's going to carve you up. You have to make him uncomfortable and put pressure on him. On that last drive, I said it when I was at the Alabama-Georgia game, right? And Georgia had scored a touchdown. And I told somebody in the suite, I said, listen, I'm blitzing them right here. Or it was the same thing with the Louisville Cardinals in the Georgia Tech game down by the end zone. It was like third and goal from like the 18-yard line. I'm heating up Sims at that point. I'm not letting guys sit back there and just have all day to try to carve me up. Listen, I want to see how your mind is. I want to see how you think under duress situation. I'm bringing the blitz. I'm putting pressure on you. The only two sacks that the Falcons got was Keanu Neal blitzing from the linebacker position and Deion Jones blitzing from the linebacker position. Now, that tells me that these guys up front have to do a better job. You can only ask so much of Grady Jarrett because he's demanding double teams
every
game
play
in and game out. So these guys on the outside, Dante Fowler, you brought him in. You didn't bring Dante Fowler to make a fourth and goal line stop in the run game. You brought Dante Fowler in to sack the quarterback and hit the head, the body of fall type situations. That's what you brought him in for. So that these guys got to get it together because you can't go in every game and be like, you know what, we're going to blitz every play to get pressure. Listen, you go against somebody who is great against that blitz, then you're going to see bombs over Baghdad, left and right.
Indeed. Indeed.
Well, Harry, Thursday night, how do you win the game? You've already played Carolina once. I mean, what would you do if you were trying to stop Teddy Bridgewater and contain him now?
Well, first and foremost, the first game against Teddy Bridgewater, they didn't get any pressure. So what did Teddy Bridgewater do? They carved him up. What also transpired in that game, something I just mentioned, the Carolina Panthers had explosive plays. You had to limit Robbie Anderson. Listen, Robbie Anderson is the real deal. That may be the most, underrated free agent signing in the NFL this year. The young man can play the game of football. He's back with his old coach. You have to tackle well. In that first matchup, they did not tackle well. The Carolina Panthers ran the football down their throat, and you just got to be better. You got to make the plays when they present themselves.
Well, Harry, we always appreciate it, and you are a great follow. He is a great follow at HDouglas83 on Twitter, and, of course, co-host of the Falcons pregame show on the network, and we get ready for Thursday night. Quick turn, and then we'll be talking to you again about this one and whatever transpires on this one, Harry. I mean, we got nine of these things to go.
Yeah, we still got some time.
Yeah, I know. Long season is still ahead.
Check this out, guys. After Thursday, guess what? We get a little break, and guess what? We still have the bye week coming up. I don't know what y'all gonna do, but I know you going somewhere on the beat. on the beach to chill, have your taco meat hanging out your shirt. You know what I mean? Stay for that naked.
Okay.
Yeah, you did wrong for that one.
Yeah, okay.
Hey, big cuz, I had to get you, big cuz.
Good times, good times.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
Taco meat is for real.
Thanks, Harry.
I'll see y'all, man.
Have a good one.
Yeah, okay.
That's what you used to call it, John, when you had your chest hair sticking out. The taco meat. The taco meat.
Yeah.
Chalupa chest. Yeah. Good times.
Andy, Randy coming up top of the hour on Sports Radio 90. Join the game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.